Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
In your face, Keith. Listen, credit to them. These guys went out there. Now, they needed to be motivated by Scoops Keith, but here they are, 2-0 after the scoop. So they're using it. It took them a while. It took them about 40 games to kind of get off their asses and get going and play with a little bit of a snarl, but they've had it. That was a good game last night. That was a fun game last night.
Last night
beating the snot out of each other.
Last night was a fun game.
Physical game.
Yeah.
They piled it on with all the empty netters at the end, but they were flying around, hitting each other. It's a good team on the other side. And Swayman, we've been on Swayman all year. Swayman had one of his best games.
I think it was easily his best
game. Maybe his best
game.
It was great. There you go.
And I think his game prior against Florida was good. And you might look at it and go, well, he gave up three against Florida, including a backbreaker in the final 2 seconds.
Yeah, they had pulled their goalie, right?
They had an extra attacker on over the weekend in the Florida game. And they had to go to overtime where they eventually won in the final seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get two goals last night. If you weren't watching, you might go, oh, well, how good was Swayman? Swayman's been great these last two games.
Yeah.
So I think what we've learned about the Bruins is they're very poor self-motivators.
Correct.
They're not going to self-motivate.
No. Could be a captain problem.
About the only time, Keith, about the only time they've been shaken awake is when they fired their coach. And now when Keith got under Brad Marchand's skin about his scoop from last Friday. And it is all a poor reflection on the captain. Yeah, who's a guy that for a long time I've championed and I like.
Yeah.
But if this were happening on Bergeron's watch, I'd be burning it down.
Yeah.
And so, look, I thought last year it went better than people expected with Marchand as the captain. This year it's been miserable.
I'm surprised overall by just the reaction to the scoop and everybody losing their minds about it. But the team was wildly underperforming and already got a coach fired. So you think everything's fine? You think everything's going great?
We talked about this yesterday. Marchand said there's no problems in the room, number one.
It's like, well, what?
Number two, he said, no, forget just him and Pastrnak. He said there's no problems in the room, which is just, is that sound true? Does anyone think that's true? And if he's willing to lie about that, what else is he going to cover up?
Yeah.
So, okay, we've said this all year. Both you and I like the roster more than some Bruins fans out there. We look at it and go, they shouldn't be this bad. Doesn't that explain it? Their talent level's way above how they performed.
Yeah.
So it's not a talent issue necessarily. It's a problem in the room. It makes sense.
And I never said that Marchand individually was the problem or even a problem. It was more of there were problems, and I'm not sure he was the right guy to clean it up. And, you know, a lot of people have been on this too. Like, this is year two, so he's been a captain now, like the captain for a year and a half. His whole career, he had two of the greatest kind of, like, captains probably in hockey in the last 20 years, and Zdeno Chara and Patrice Bergeron, and that is just such a different dynamic shift. Also, David Pastrnak over the last couple of years has become the highest paid player on the team, one of the higher paid players in the league, you know, and he's not a perfect player by any stretch. And so I can't imagine there wasn't a time where maybe Brad Marchand got on Pastrnak a little bit, and then it's all about, all right, how does Pastrnak respond to that and everything else? But the reality is they were in not just a six-game losing streak, in those quote unquote, or the scoops that I had came out even before the last loss. I got it that night. I texted you guys. I'm like, we'll talk about the next
day. You tipped us off on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Certainly prior to the Bruins Lightning game from last week ending.
But regardless, they were in a tailspin. It was like the longest losing streak they had had in years. They were, based on point percentage, because all these teams have played different games, they were going to miss the playoffs. Like, that's not a normal season for the Boston Bruins.
Nope.
Ray Kroft told us about the worst power play in franchise history, and just on down the line, so many different issues with this team, but people were quick to say, oh, no, there's nothing to see here, and of course, Marchand, like, responding the way that he did, which was very over the top, and also, if it's such a nothing story, you wouldn't have reacted that way. But then they've come back and won two games, and it's funny some of the response I get. It's like,
go pound sand.
Which I was pounding sand trying to get my new mailbox up.
It's more aggressive than that. I would say Marchand was the most benign in terms of what he's told you to do specifically.
That is true.
Yeah.
But just because they've won two games, everyone's like, well, see, that's wrong. It's like, no. Guys can have locker room beefs on every team, every year, all the time, and it doesn't mean it lasts for 80 games. And also, I never once said Pasternak's not going to score another goal or the team's not going to win another game. If I had predicted a 50-game losing streak and then they win, you'd be like, hey, in your face. I never said that. It's very, very strange. But I do respect there was a lot of people on the Twitter and some of the text line today being like, I think you kind of sparked them. Like, look, how can you not?
They don't spark themselves. They are not self-motivators. Yeah. And so good. They need external motivation. The first time was firing their coach. The second time was clearly Keith, you mentioned Razor. I'm looking forward to talking to Razor tomorrow.
Should be good. Thursday, Bruins
on a Bruins Thursday, sure. Meanwhile, as we look at some of the things going on with the Bees, this gets pointed out quite a bit. Last night it was on a line change, I believe. Marchand and Pasternak were on the ice together.
Oh my God, no, that can't happen.
Yes, they were.
I also didn't say they would never be on a line
together.
No,
you said, yeah. And this is another, you just highlighted this, but I think a lot of fans have gotten this wrong. Your report really wasn't a Marchand report. It was about
Pasternak. No, he was just the one that was so outspoken about it, so it became a Marchand story.
Marchand was trying to be a good captain and telling Pasternak, hey, you're not really playing your best. And Pasternak overreacted and said he doesn't want to play on a line with Marchand, is your report.
Yeah.
And so they were on the ice together last night. Marchand looked Pasternak off, FYI. Looked him off, driving to the net. Yeah. Scored on an absolute snipe. Beautiful goal by my guy Marchand.
Yep. No, he's a good player. I'm not saying he's not a good player.
Then they went over and gave a little fist pound. It wasn't much of a celebration between the two of them.
And then they took a photo and put it on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And then he was like, wolves don't lose sleep over the opinions of sheep.
Well, that was...
It's not an opinion.
That was from last week. No, I'm talking about this goal last night.
He should have said scoops of sheep. That would have been much better.
No, I'm talking about the goal last night.
I know.
He looked off Pasternak. They were on the ice together. He looked off Pasternak.
Yeah.
And then they gave like a meek little celebration after the goal. And so, okay, maybe there's something to read into there.
Best friends.
I don't know why this didn't occur to me.
Yeah.
Razor told us last week. I didn't realize how bad their power play had been. I knew it was bad, like throughout the league. I knew they had a poor power play.
Yeah, we could feel it every night.
They're trending towards historically the worst power play in franchise history. They were 0-2 again last night. Six goals. 0-2 again last night on the power play. They don't play on a line together, Keith. Marchand made sure to confirm that part of the report, by the way, that they don't play on a line together, but it's just to separate out the scoring.
Right.
They do play together.
They've been scoring so much.
They do play together on the power play, which a lot of people have used as, oh, see, Keith is wrong. No. They do play together on the power play, and their power play sucks.
Terrible.
But did you ever think that maybe the power play sucks because there's a little rift between the two of them when they are playing together?
Can't be that.
Did that ever? It didn't occur to me until last night.
It's possible.
But like, oh, they're horrible on the power play, and that is when the two of them play together.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
I don't know. There's something, maybe something there. We'll see. Now, they got a long layoff until their next game, so you wonder if this, can they keep the fire burning? Because right now, they're flying around in your face, scoops. Like, they're mad.
Yeah.
But they got a few days to kind of cool off. Like, I don't know if they're going to have that same hate and energy in the next couple of games.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully.
And, you know, they could treat you like the owner in Major League. Just,
could do that.
Really consider that the turning point in their season.
I'll send them a photo they can use to cover up.
Yeah.
How many wins do they need to clinch a wild card spot? It's just me standing up.
Q. Keith.
Very provocative.
His
leopard
slump buster, his slump buster thong there.
Yeah, well, hey, one's a win.
So that's something. Give me one more thing. I heard this after the game. Caught my ear.
All right.
Tell me if you hear anything interesting here. Razor asked a good question to Marchand after the game. Pastrnak, by the way, was the Bruins' leading scorer last night.
Yeah, he's great.
So maybe you would mention him when you're talking about the win. Here's Marchand after the game.
Brad, huge game from Jeremy Swayman. Huge game from a bunch of guys stepping up. Huge games from the forwards, leadership. That was a good one.
Yeah. I thought we had a really good start. There's some periods of the game where we kind of let them take the momentum back. But ultimately, we got the job done at this time of year. That's all that matters. And some things we can be happy about and continue to build on. Some things we can improve. So, but incredible game by Sway. I thought Weatherspoon had an incredible game as well. He was great out there all night. And obviously Callahan and Vinny and Potsy were big additions to the group tonight. Brought lots of energy, so it was good.
It was like six guys in there.
I think it was five.
Five guys.
I don't want to be accused of lying.
So five guys. So Swayman, who's the first star of the game. Yep. Weatherspoon was the third star of the game. He had a goal. Good for him. The defense scoring. Even with all their injuries. Good for them. That's kind of also the story of the game. Second star, David Pastrnak. One goal, two assists.
Huh.
Didn't say anything about him.
High score for the Bruins last night.
It's his best bud.
Best friend.
His best friend.
I think maybe you'd bring him up before you bring up Vinny and Potsy and Callahan. That's just me.
No, I don't. Hey, listen.
Caught my ear.
I get what you're saying there.
I cut out the follow-up from Razor, but there were no comments about David Pastrnak. Again, we're looking forward to talking to Razor tomorrow.
That's a shame.
On a Bruins Thursday.
Bees Thursday.
So, interesting. You're right about the young kids.
Let them play.
Well, yeah. Why hasn't Patra been up? He's been red hot
in
Providence, and he set up that first goal last night. I'm okay with seeing more of Lysell. I didn't notice much out of Callahan last night, but whatever. Like, you have guys who are playing well in Providence, or even if they're not, you have issues right now scoring. Why don't you inject some youth and some energy into your lineup? That did seem to be a factor last night.
Yeah, because I was thinking no McAvoy. Like, how is this going to go? No, obviously Lindholm's been out for a while, but you don't have these guys. What's it going to look like? And you're looking up and down the defensive pairings, and you're like, not a lot of household names, but those guys played well, and they got involved. Like, the defenseman scoring two goals is pretty huge. I don't know what the stats were flying around last night, like when the defense scores, what their record is and things like that. And so even without McAvoy, they were able to do it. Also, my guy Trent Frederick. That was a nice game for Trent Frederick.
Throwing knucks last night.
Oh, he will beat the snot out of you, won't he? Won't he? Yeah. Even Zadorov, who you and I don't really care for. He just kind of stands around a lot. Doesn't seem to be doing too much.
Not my favorite.
He'll punch you in the face, too.
He will.
He'll punch you in the face. But yeah, that had good juice last night. Those two teams seem to hate each other quite a bit, which is great.
Good game, good win. I think the Bruins were looking at the Lightning like they were Rich Keefe out there on the ice.
I think Trent Frederick is like, my face.
And all that guy's,
no Braden Point for Tampa. Apparently he missed a meeting.
Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know.
Did you just miss a meeting?
Who reported
that? Probably trade him.
Yeah, I was going to say, who reported that?
You think it's a false report?
Do you think
maybe somebody got some bad intel?
Yeah. Are all the Lightning fans all up in arms about that report?
No, I wonder. Didn't play, though.
Let's get to some phone calls.
All right.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Bruins. What's different? What's changed? I think Swayman is at the heart of that because Swayman's been great these last couple of games. Sorja in Mansfield waiting patiently on our Patriots conversation. Go ahead, Sorja.
Jones and Keith, how are we today?
Doing great.
I was going to talk Patriots, but do you mind if I jump in on the Bruins really quick?
Go for it, Sorja. Jump in.
Why not? So, like you guys said, so the Bruins were on a six-game losing streak up until New Year's Eve, dating back. This Lightning team that they beat last night, they lost two on Thursday, and they obviously beat the Panthers 4-3, and of course, Scoops Keith came in on Friday to save the day, so I guess there's only three things guaranteed in life: death, taxes, and Scoops Keith. And I just think this is the problem with these guys. Like, you had a coach in Monty who was a great regular season coach, and I don't want to rewrite history, but it just seems like these guys, a real change needs to be made. And I really think that the performance of this team the last two games really legitimizes Scoops Keith, and you can't beat Scoops Keith.
Well, Sorja, it's a great call. Maybe the best call we've ever had.
Death, taxes, and Scoops Keith.
Yeah, the big three. You could set your watch to all three of those things.
Nice. Okay, so I've said before, I think they need to make a big change roster-wise. And I get told all the time, well, no one's making trades, and everybody's in the mix, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine, so you can't make a trade. you can do what they did last night. They were forced into it. But you can play more of Patra, and you can play more of the kids from Providence, and try to force a little energy on the team, because they've been playing dead and lifeless for a while. So that's something you can do in the interim. They need to think bigger than that.
Yeah.
But that's something I would continue to do in the interim.
Oh, definitely. And, I mean, he brought up the firing Jim Montgomery. Like, you moved on from him, kind of scapegoating him, saying, all right, he's the problem. Like, now we're going to be better. Like, nobody's listening to him. It's like, well, Jim Montgomery didn't have a 6-game losing streak this year.
Nope.
And I'm not saying Joe Sacco's the problem. I'm just saying, like, all right, now Joe Sacco's the guy. So then what are you going to do, scapegoat him at the end of the season? Like, I think, you know, barring some major change this regular season, there's going to be a lot of questions this offseason. Like, you can't trot it all back again.
Let me ask you, Keith, since you've come under fire from Bruins fans and some of the Bruins players who didn't seem to be big Monty fans, are you pulling for Monty now in St. Louis? Were you ever pulling for Monty in St. Louis? Are you pulling for Monty in St. Louis now? He's 3 points out of a playoff spot. 3 points out of a playoff spot. They do have a few games out of hand.
No, I think, like, Cassidy I was rooting for. Like, I was, like, straight up rooting for Cassidy.
Stick it to him.
Not really rooting for, I'm not rooting against him, but, like, I have really no, like, strong opinion as it relates to Jim Montgomery.
I'm saying,
I feel like he gets scapegoated here. If he does well, great. If he doesn't, to me, it's not the end of the world. Are you rooting for him?
It'd be maybe a way. Well, maybe now I am. Late last week. I wasn't before, but maybe now, yeah.
That's true.
Enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Imagine that if they got two Stanley Cup winning coaches fired. Yeah, nice. You got the one guy, you kicked him out of town, wins a cup the next year. This guy you fired, and even if he doesn't win a cup, he got hired 12 hours later.
Keep an eye on Monty, who was nice to all of them, at least until the final days here. Keep an eye on Monty, who, like, came in, was their best friend, treated him nicely.
Not good enough.
They still railroaded the coach.
Yeah.
And watch him turn around and make the playoffs while you miss it. I think I am rooting for that.
Okay. Talk to me into it.
Jay is in North Carolina. Hello, Jay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
All right, look, is it okay if I mention it quickly about the Patriots? And I want to talk about the Bruins.
You know what? I'm going to make it clear to Jay and Sorja and everyone else out there. Go ahead. You go ahead and talk about whatever you
want. Let it rip.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I was really pushing for Ben Johnson and a clean slate and a clean sweep. Didn't want Mike Vrabel. But in all essence, give the guy a chance. I said, give the guy a chance and back off. So we'll see what Mike Vrabel can do. But as far as the Bruins go, I think they found their stride. They beat two top echelon teams, and I'm still screaming blue murder about Pastrnak not having a centerman to feed him, because that guy could really be outstanding.
Okay, so they got to go get a center.
There we go. They're back.
David Pastrnak.
Bees are back. You ready to say Bees are back?
Bees are back. I'm not ready to go there yet. Who needs to give Vrabel a chance? Is that to us?
No,
is
him.
That
the
fans
him.
Out there?
I think people are saying yes. He's saying for the people that didn't want Vrabel, like, give him a chance. And, I mean, I think the majority of people, if not everybody, is on board at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, depending on who the offensive coordinator is and some of the other moves they have going forward, you might second guess it a little bit. But as of right now, everybody feels great.
We got to get to a Would You Rather Wednesday coming up here momentarily, Keith. So I'm going to give you two choices on the phones. Would you like Scoops Keefe is the real deal, or You Guys Are Losers?
Give me You Guys Are Losers, because I appreciate the Scoops Keefe's the real deal, but we've been getting a lot of that. So let's try this other one.
How about Sam in New Hampshire? Hello, Sam.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
So, first of all, Keith, always respect your opinion. I think you do a great job on the radio.
Thank you.
Yeah, bud.
And nice job carrying Mr. Negative along with you.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, bud.
I'll get to the loser part, but I have to say, Neely needs to go as well as Sweeney. I don't know what he knows about running a business, but it's obvious he knows nothing. As far as you guys being losers, I heard you a little bit on Monday. I just got in the car and I heard you now. All these little nitpicking things you guys make a big deal about, whether he looked off past at a sniper's goal or how much they celebrated or he didn't. He didn't mention him. He didn't mention him in the post game.
No, he didn't. Just a fact. But he didn't. Yeah.
And you're not saying anything about your sources. Give us something that gives credibility to
what you said
in your statement.
I'll tell you.
Otherwise, you just sound like a couple of losers.
Yeah. All right, Sam. Thanks for the call and the feedback. I will tell you.
Give up the source, Keith.
The source has never been wrong. I'll say that. Nobody gives, like, you don't have these info guys come out and say who their source are. Like, it's crazy. Like Adam Schefter, oh yeah, you heard about that guy's injury or whatever? Like, who told you? Where'd you get that from?
No, I would.
Per source.
Everything's per source.
Everything is per source.
I would fully expect when Schefter is on WEEI Afternoons today, I would fully expect when he tells them something, they go, yeah, but who's your source?
Yeah, but hold on a second. That sounds well and good.
I don't hear the interview every week, but when I hear it, that's usually how it goes. Yeah, but who's your source, Schefter?
There wouldn't be any info people if the sources just all put out the stuff that they put out. Right, you can go on. Everybody can create an Instagram account or a Twitter account and be like, "This is what's happening." But I'm just saying that there's been several correct stories. All of them have been correct, including this one.
What bothers you more, Keith? The "you made it up" criticism or "you got lied to" criticism?
Oh, the "you made it up" criticism is way worse.
I think that's much worse
because that's what Courtney's trying to play. Courtney's like, "I didn't say you made it up." She's like, "I just think you got lied to" or whatever, which I don't think is the case, but. No, making it up is insane because what is the end game? What is the purpose of that? What's the porpoise if I made it up?
Again,
so I'm sitting around in my house.
Let me play someone who would say that to you.
Yeah.
Clicks, attention, notoriety.
Oh, yeah. It was, that's what it was.
Yes.
Do you know how much money I get off of that in Twitter post that got like a million views? I get $0.00. So that had nothing to do with that. Did we even lead the show with it?
No. We did it at 11 o'clock that day after we talked about. A whole bunch of probably Mike Vrabel or whatever. Yeah.
That's the dumbest one. And then it's like, well, all the stuff he got right before was obvious stuff. It was? Then why didn't anybody else put it out there? All the stuff was so obvious. It was?
I heard one former media member say that it's such an obvious report.
Then why didn't that guy have it? Or why didn't anybody else have it? Like, seriously, the making up thing is
asinine. Because none of them had Sacco.
Montgomery, Sacco, injuries, trades, contracts. I think I had Bergeron retirement. I'm telling you, it's a long track record.
So one that I think gets glossed over a lot is, that you had trade deadline moves 2 years ago, right? Or was it 3 years ago? Hathaway, Orlov?
Or whenever they got Orlov and Hathaway, 2 years ago.
They got your guy Snarls?
Yeah, Snarls.
Yeah.
That's Snarls.
Yeah.
I had that. I didn't know they called him Snarls, but still, I had that.
Well, you know.
Oh, he's making it up.
You don't claim to know everything.
So this is the long con, right?
Yeah.
So I decided to make up stuff. But it was obvious stuff to build up the hit rate. And then in January, when we're talking about the new head coach of the Patriots, I'm going to be like, you know what? The locker room's bad. It's like, he's making it up. He's making it up. And that is way dumber than he got lied to.
I am just hoping and praying that a national guy out there, because you know none of these local beat writers are going to
do it. Oh, you can guarantee that.
They're done. I mean, Marchand said... it was made up.
He told us.
I mean, they're done.
Nothing left to see here.
They will do no more work. Yeah. They're done. They're like, oh, well, no. Marchand said.
Yeah.
So they're not going to get their fingernails dirty.
But
and
you'll
do
get the line combos.
Any work.
If you want the line combos or who is first off the ice, they'll have that. But any actual news about the team, they won't have.
Yeah. Give me the PP1 and the PP2.
Oh, please.
If you don't mind. But, like, they're done. They're not going to do any work on this. They won't do any reporting on it. That's a guarantee.
None. No, they'll just take little shots.
We need a national guy. We need Elliot Friedman.
Yes. Our guy Wyszynski.
Yeah. How much reporting does Wyszynski do? I don't know, but he is our guy.
Know. He is our guy, though.
You know.
O-Dog and Hazy.
Yeah. O-Dog and...
Noodles.
Noodles.
Yeah.
Did I say Bubbles? No, Noodles.
I take a report from Bubs.
Yeah,
Bubs. Give me a report from Bubbles.
Nudes.
Yeah.
O-Dog.
If any of the Trailer Park Boys have reports, I'm
in
for
it. If they want to figure it out, that's great.
Yeah, it's more likely you'll get a report, an actual scoop from the Trailer Park Boys than the Bruins media.
Good point by Dark and Stormy Nights. If you want to know who was first off the ice, you follow these guys. If you want to know any actual news about the team, follow somebody else.
It's true. If you want the first goalie off the ice at morning skate, they got you covered.
Uh-huh.
If you want an actual scoop, I don't know, maybe this is the show.
Who the stretches?
Who's out there? Who's doing the stretches in the middle?
It was Potsy yesterday.
Yeah, good.
Potsy was doing it, which, by the way, I'm being told on the text line that that was a nickname for Pastrnak.
It's not.
No, it's definitely not.
It would be Patra.
That's for Patra.
Patra.
As far as I know, and maybe you've heard this once or twice on the broadcast.
Hey, Tukes. If you're one of these morons that is calling the players by their nickname in a press conference setting, maybe you should take a lap. Maybe take a little break from what you're doing.
617-779-7937. The Bruins are all fired up thanks to Rich Keefe.
They are. Hey, listen, if it ends up, you know, they go on this great run, they win the cup, maybe I'm on the duck boat.
Maybe.
Maybe they give me a duck.
Not Marchand's duck boat, but one.
No, we should probably keep our distance, but maybe I go on a duck boat. If you guys want to hurl tomatoes at me, feel free. But at least I'm on the duck boat, getting a tour through the city.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
That'd be great.
Do I get a ring is another question I have.
I'd give you like a personnel, like the team, the players get like
a ring.
And then, you'd get like what the media relations, you know, what like Brick would get.
You'll get one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Last question. Do I get my name on the cup?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
As long as they write that
and
in there.
And your day with the cup?
I get, obviously, I'm going to get a day with the cup, Nick.
Wayne Gretzky, Sid Crosby, yep. Lemieux, Keith.
Rich Keefe. No, Scoops Keefe.
617-779-7937. That's your phone number. It's a Celtics Wednesday. We'll talk to Terp at high noon. All your Celtics questions can start lining up. We have a Would You Rather Wednesday right after Trending.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Billy Laney.
It's time for
Would You Rather Wednesday.
Would you rather Juan Soto or Would you rather have a pet monkey or a mini pig? Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
On Jones and Keith.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. It's a Celtics Wednesday. We'll talk to Terp at high noon. You can jump in line with all your Celtics questions. What's wrong with the C's? Me and Keith have ideas, but
something is up.
Terp is there covering the team, reporting on the team.
Yep.
So if you have any questions for Terp, good chance to ask him on a Celtics Wednesday. It's also a Would You Rather Wednesday. What do we have today, Billy?
All right, Billy.
First one up, would you rather have Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson?
So this used to be, and I like Lamar, it used to be a no-brainer Josh Allen. Like the last couple of years, no-brainer Josh Allen. But you and I have been getting into this debate this year on who the MVP is, and I think it's Lamar Jackson. And if he was the MVP last year, like how do you not want the guy who, in my mind, should be back-to-back MVPs?
They're he shouldn't have won it last year.
But whatever, but he did. And he should win it this year, whether he does or he doesn't. More passing yards, more total touchdowns, less interceptions. He, I think, should be the MVP. They're both excellent. They're about the same age, same draft class, all that stuff. I think I'm going to officially change my tune. I think I'm going to say Lamar Jackson's the
You're
second.
You're Lamar over Allen.
I think so. Now they get another playoff win, too. I know it wasn't like the most challenging game, but that was one of the knocks on him. I think that sort of helps the argument now for Lamar. It's not like knocking down all of his past playoff performances, but at least it's not another one and done or bad performance. So if Mahomes is the clear-cut number one quarterback, I think I'm now saying Lamar 2, Allen 3.
Okay, I like that we have stakes to this now.
Yes,
I like
we do.
That there's stakes.
What a game coming up.
Because I'm going Josh Allen.
Yeah, yeah.
But look, I can be swayed. I mean, if Allen plays horribly and Lamar plays great, I know it's one game, but I can be swayed because I do think it's close, and I like both of these guys a lot. So I would go Josh Allen. I would argue, even though the stats don't just appear to be in favor of Josh Allen, and they're not, Lamar also has maybe the most help he's ever had, and Josh Allen has the least he's ever had, and the Bills had a better season than the Ravens. Case in point, the game's being played in Buffalo. So I think Allen's had to do more. I think he can shoulder more. I think this is evidence that Lamar can't shoulder as much as Josh Allen. He needs Derrick Henry and guys like this. Allen doesn't need Steph Diggs. He lost him, and he's better.
Yeah.
So I would go Josh Allen, but it is really close. I think if you were drafting quarterbacks, I imagine we'd all take the same four in largely the same order. You and I would flip Lamar.
Yeah. And this is a new
Lamar
phenomenon for me. Going into the year, it was Allen too, but yeah.
But okay.
Burrow
We'd all take Mahomes one. Lamar and Allen are back and forth, I think, and then Burrow 4.
Yep.
I think the debate would really start at 5. Then I think you could have a wide open debate. I think we all agree largely on the top 4. And we would agree even on the top 3. I think there's another drop down to Burrow. But I would still go Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson.
One thing I love about Lamar this year is he got a stud running back. So you're right. He has more help than Josh Allen does. And they let him do most of the running. So Lamar, who you already knew could run, and everyone's like, oh, he's just a running quarterback. That's all I can do. All right. Well, he threw for 41 touchdowns. I don't remember Michael Vick throwing for 41 touchdowns.
Definitely
or 4,100 something yards. So he
Who
really
caught those. Zay Flowers had 4 touchdowns this year, and he was their leading receiver.
Probably Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews.
And like Bateman had a million touchdown catches this year.
The first.
Justice Hill had a couple.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, it was probably really spread around.
I imagine it was really spread out.
Yeah, because
it wasn't Deontay Johnson when he was there.
No, let's see. I'll tell you who it was.
Released.
I think 11 different guys caught touchdowns.
There you go.
So Mark Andrews had 11. Rashad Bateman had 9. Isaiah Likely had 6. Zay Flowers had 4. And then just, I mean, Nelson Agholor had 2, like on down the line.
Let me ask it a different
way. Their big fullback had 1.
Let me ask it a different way. Yeah. You got a big drive at the end of a game. Who would you go with?
I mean,
Allen feels more unstoppable, right?
He does. He feels a little bit more unstoppable.
I know it's not your question, but I just, if you change it a little bit, I would answer Allen. I'm just curious if you would change your answer.
I maybe would go Allen. I would probably even bump Burrow in that scenario.
Over Lamar.
Over Lamar. And maybe even over Allen. Like in that scenario, if you get him there where you're like, you don't have to worry about your crappy defense and it's just one drive for Burrow, I might take him. But like, what a time. Like all these guys under 30 in the AFC. And it feels like, I mean, the last 5 years, I mean, Mahomes has gone to 4 of them and Burrow's gone to the other. And it feels like these other two guys are trying to get it. Neither one, like Lamar and Josh Allen, as amazing as they are, haven't made the Super Bowl yet, let won it.
Well, and the other side piece is now that's what Drake May's dealing with for who knows how long in the AFC.
Oh, yeah.
What else we got, Billy?
Would you rather have Zach LaVine or Jimmy Butler?
I'm still Butler. And I know it's been trash this year, but he's worn out his welcome other places and gone in and been Jimmy Butler. I'd still go Jimmy Butler, but Zach LaVine's having an awesome season, and I'm guessing he's going to be probably the crown jewel of the trade deadline, the piece that, well, I mean, look, Butler can get moved. I still have some doubts. I think LaVine is definitely getting
moved. Yeah, I think both guys might get moved. You know, Butler's been on a bunch of teams. LaVine's only been on 2. He's obviously younger. I think LaVine has a better chance of kind of fitting in. Like, if you put him on the Thunder, yeah. I mean, that's kind of obvious, right? But that's why I would probably prefer LaVine. He is having a good year. He's scoring, like, 24 points a game. He's shooting the 3 better than he's ever shot at this year. So that's why you could plug him in almost anywhere. Whereas with Butler, you get, like a leader and, like, you get, like, a guy that's got that dog in him.
For sure.
But
too much dog, maybe.
Maybe too much dog. Like, does he butt heads with the other dogs? Or like those dogs turn into puppies? Or like, does he try to fight Carl Anthony Towns in practice? Or like, does he bully Joel Embiid? Like, you don't know what he's going to do. So there might be a nice upside there. But I'd rather, if I was a team, obviously not the Celtics, but if I was one of these other teams, I'd rather trade for Zach LaVine.
Okay, interesting. What else, Billy?
Would you rather Alex Bregman or Pete Alonso?
Pete Alonso. So that then creates, you know, a question with Tristan Casas, what you can get for him.
Yeah.
So I'd move him in the right deal, try to play hardball, get a better pitcher than Luis Castillo. Maybe you have to throw in something else to get somebody, but I would rather do that. You're getting a righty bat that socks a bunch of dingers and could do it for a while. Whereas Bregman, I think he's on the downside of his career, not as far down as like Nolan Arenado is, but he's further down. The talk is you're going to put him at second base. So you're adding a better defensive third baseman to the team, but you're still going to keep Devers at third. I'd rather just add the 40 home run guy in Alonso.
So I like both. I agree with you. I'd play Bregman at third, not second. But even at second base, I prefer Bregman. I like the pedigree. I like that he's a winner. I like that he could be a leader. I know Alonso was on a team that was in the World Series last year, and he had some big moments during that run. Massive home run for them. I like the track record with Bregman, and I think the Red Sox need not just talent and need to spend some money, but they also need a leader. I think they're starving for one of those. It's not Devers. It's not Duran, for as much as I like him. And so I think Bregman would provide that. And so I would go Alex Bregman over Pete Alonso. What's our last one, Billy?
Would you rather pound sand or live in a closet?
All right, so two things that Brad Marchand suggested, one that I do and one that I was doing.
Uh-huh.
So living in a closet, I kind of think of like Harry Potter. That was sort of like
a sweet little room.
It wasn't a bad room. It was under the stairs, though, which I feel like anytime somebody goes
stomping on them.
Yeah, there's that, too.
Uh-huh.
It's private.
Yep.
It's better. I don't know what the end result of pounding sand is. You just do that to eternity?
I mean, I don't love manual labor, so that one immediately puts up a red flag.
The closet thing I'd have to look into. I'd have to figure out what that entails. Can I get like a little TV in there?
How big is the closet?
Yeah, right. I was just going to say, what if it's a Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe type closet?
I was
going to
say, my first apartment with my wife was like a closet.
Need a light. Is there a light in the closet?
Yeah, I need a light. I need some light source in there.
How do I get food?
How many
in there?
Jackets are in the closet?
How do I get food? Do they slide? Is it like prison? Do they slide food underneath you?
No, I think you're allowed to go. Like, this is like your home, I think.
Oh, I live in it, but I can come and go as I please.
Yeah,
definitely live in the closet.
Yeah, okay, live in the closet.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't want manual.
And then every
manual
time
labor of pounding sand sounds very tiring.
True. Every time you leave work, would you say back to the closet for me? Going back to the closet.
Everybody's kind of like,
they're like, what the hell? Why is he saying it like that? It's like, well, he lives in an actual closet.
It was an odd dig from Marchand. It was.
Couple of burns, which is also funny because everyone's like, oh my God, he just torched them so much with all those hilarious lines.
So we
like the closet line.
I mean, look.
Pound Sand's funny.
Pound Sand is hard to come back from.
But you can't come back.
Living.
He might as well call me a bum.
Living in the closet, really. I mean, I know it's Trump's America again very shortly with inauguration.
I thought he needed to be careful
with that. That was a questionable one. I mean, really, I don't want to cancel anyone, but I thought it was a questionable one.
Pound Sand.
I wouldn't have canceled him, but others would have.
Which would you rather, Billy? Live in the closet or Pound Sand?
Probably the closet.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if I assume Pound Sand, I'm at the beach, then I need sunblock. Then
yeah, oh, good. Stuff, such a good point.
I mean? It's,
yeah.
But I mean, the sand could be just a sandbox.
Yeah.
That's also true.
Oh, yeah.
Do I have a canopy with that sandbox?
But very repetitive
but
and tiring.
But then sand's everywhere.
Yeah,
but you get to sift it. You get to make little castles and stuff like that.
I mean,
you think it's just strictly pounding it, or do you think it's just like life in a sandbox?
No, pound sand, pound sand.
No, it's pound. You're not. It's not just sand.
So
it's not pounding sand.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I always, so no sand castles.
No.
No moats.
Does that sound like pounding sand?
No,
that
no burying
like,
myself
that
up
sounds
to
like
my neck.
Building and having fun.
That old chestnut. No, you can't do that. Hmm. I always steer my daughters away from the sandbox, the playground, because it's like sand everywhere. It's like, do you take your shoes off? Do you not? It's a nightmare. So I was like, let's stay on the slides. Like, let's go. You want to swing?
Yeah.
Like, no. Look at all these kids in the sandbox. I'm like, no.
Can your older one swing on her own yet? Or are you still got to push?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, she's like a maniac on like the monkey bars.
That's a game
changer. Does
she
jump off the swing?
That's a game.
Yes.
Once they can swing on their own, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
Having to shove those kids around on a swing is real.
No, one of them you got to
doggies.
Talk about repetitive. Say it again.
Give an underdoggy.
Oh, yeah. The older one you can give an underdoggy to.
You know, well, I don't know if I've done that with Lucas.
Give him an underdoggy.
Yeah,
hold on tight.
Yeah.
Here comes the underdoggy. That just flying off and lands in the wood chips. You're like, you're good, right?
All right, good.
Yeah.
Well, we're closet guys is what we are. Yeah. Is what we've solved. We're not going to pound sand.
Uh-huh.
We will live in the closet. It's a Would You Rather Wednesday on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. Let's get to the coaching carousel, some of the vacancies in the NFL. What's the top job and who are the top fits for it? Plus, Celtics Wednesday, we'll talk to Turp at high noon.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI, Celtics Wednesday, on the heels of an important Would You Rather Wednesday. I think we covered some good ground there.
Learned a lot.
We did.
Always do.
If you missed any of that, it's on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. You can also check it out on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. If you have Celtics questions for Turp, you can ask them, 617-779-7937. We'll ask questions, but if you got thoughts, takes, questions for Terp, we'll do that again at high noon on a Celtics Wednesday. As for the coaching carousel, Keith, and we spent some time talking about the Dallas vacancy yesterday, Mike Lombardi clapping back at Mike Florio for him suggesting that, well, Bill has a slow hiring process at UNC to keep the door open to go back to the NFL. He's not going to have Patricia and Judge and McDaniels all sign contracts at UNC to then try to untangle all those contracts. He has the ability to leave quickly. All he's hired are his kid and Lombardi's kid and some guy nobody heard of from the CFL.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so like that's all he's done at UNC. So we spent some time talking about Dallas and that vacancy, Dion and Bill. What is the best job
so right there's now out of six vacancies? Openings, right? So you have the Bears, the Cowboys, the Jaguars, the Raiders, the Saints, and the Jets.
It's admittedly not a great list.
No, it's not. I still think, and this might be me hanging on longer than I should, I don't think Caleb Williams is bad. I think Caleb Williams can be good. Maybe not every coach is going to be able to unlock that, but they got some good players. They got some good defensive players. They got a few good offensive players. Even if, you know, Keenan Allen's washed, fine. But they still have some guys that are worth something there in Chicago. I think Chicago's the best job. Now, depending on what all these other teams' like quarterback plans are, that kind of changes things. But if you're the Cowboys, are you keeping Dak Prescott? Are you not? Maybe you have to.
Well, let me
but
ask,
he's always hurt.
Let me ask you. I like Dak. I think I like Dak more than most.
Probably.
If I had to ballpark it, Dak to me is a top back end of the top 10 guy. Is that fair, or do you think that's too high?
I don't think it's crazy because it sounds crazy, but then when you do the exercise, every year we would do this exercise, and it like falls off a cliff after like 8. So you could make an argument for like 6 different guys.
Again,
probably.
Like if I actually sat down and ranked it, maybe I'd have him 11.
But whatever.
I feel like he's like a back end of the top 10 guy. Coming off an injury, there's questions. I like Dak. I think Dallas is the job, but here's what I wouldn't love about Dallas if I were Ben Johnson, for instance.
Yes.
Here's what I wouldn't love. There are going to be massive expectations and eyeballs. Not to say that any of these jobs, there's no expectations. I mean, Chicago hasn't been to the playoffs in a while, and, you know, they've never had the quarterback, and there's pressure with Caleb Williams. There'll be pressure in Vegas and the Jets and everything else. It is different in Dallas. So
you're really under a microscope there. I think you got to be built a certain way to take that job. Is that the best job for someone like Ben Johnson, who is an introvert, and now you're the outward-facing member of the organization? Maybe not. I think Dion's cut out for that. I think Bill, not that I'd hire him, but I think Bill would be cut out for that aspect of the job.
I think they have, as the Twitch chat's pointing out, they have really high-end players. Like, you have CeeDee Lamb, top five wide receiver.
Micah,
you have
Parsons. Micah Parsons,
top five defensive player. Dak Prescott, I'm with you, is at least, at the very worst, top half of the league for quarterbacks. And one thing with Dallas, you have to say, decent job security. Jerry Jones doesn't fire guys. In fact, he keeps them longer than he should.
He's going to keep you for your whole 4 or 5 year contract.
So you got that. You won't get embarrassed and be a one and done.
No.
So, yeah, maybe it is potentially
Jerry, in that same way, also sneaky cheap.
Yeah.
And so, you know, is he going to pay for all the upgrades that you need? Where are you drafting, et cetera, et cetera? I think it's Dallas, but I don't think it's by much. And Dallas is not the job people want it to be. Who would you, after though? Do you agree those are the top two?
Dallas and the Bears?
Yes. Yeah. What's third?
Maybe the Raiders?
It's the Raiders.
Because of Brady? And just sort of see what they're doing there? I mean, no quarterback, but Raiders, yeah.
Purely because of that. We've talked about this consistently last year when we were doing our tiers. They have nothing. I mean, they have Bowers. But they have nothing there that you want to build around.
Max Crosby.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's fair.
You got two.
You have a tight end and you have Max Crosby, who may not even be on the team going forward.
No. You have a relatively high pick. Was it sixth?
Mm-hmm. But you don't have a quarterback. You don't have
a blank canvas.
Wide receivers, you unless canvas. You really like Jacoby Myers as a number one.
But I don't think Brady's going to put up with losing for very long. Like, he's gonna throw his weight around a little bit.
I would take the Vegas job over the Jets and the Saints.
And the Jags.
What's the thank you.
What's
and
the
Jags.
Worst job? Jets?
I think it's the Jets. Saints is pretty bad.
Like, Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner should be a good place to begin with. Like, you had the rookie of the year offense and defense from a couple years ago. But
And I'll say this.
No quarterback.
You're in not... It's not a terrible division anymore. I mean, it's Buffalo, and then I kind of think it's everybody else. You can rank them however you want, but I think you can make up ground to be the Patriots can make up ground to be the second best team in the division next year.
Saints.
The Dolphins could stay there. The Jets could do that, but that I don't want that job.
Saints could turn things around and be a player because, like, not like I like the Bucs, but like the Bucs and Falcons aren't these like dominant wagons. So if you're the Saints, you could turn that around.
The
be
Saints
competitive.
And look, there are ways to do it, but the Saints are locked into some bad contracts.
Yeah,
or you know, maybe they're not all bad. Like, how bad is Kamara's contract? I guess, but you kind of have an aging core there. What are you going to do to reset it? I think that's kind of a roster mess.
Jaguars is bad too.
This bulky tank the value of the Jaguars job.
Yes, it seems like he does.
Yeah, but
if Balky wasn't there, I feel like it'd be a pretty decent job.
Well, that all depends. Would you rather have?
There was a report yesterday about him that they're more flexible on.
Yeah,
Shot Khan, Elliot Wolf style.
I think so. Yes, I think it might be in a classic would you rather fashion. Trevor Lawrence or Caleb Williams?
Oh, Caleb.
Same. So that, like, Chicago, Jacksonville. I think there's a big draft. Like, Trevor Lawrence is not.
I don't love either of those.
No.
But and I never liked Caleb as much as you. But I'm not down on him where I think he has no chance. I think he's got major red flags, but I would rather Caleb Williams.
All right, so with six openings, and obviously Mike Vrabel off the list, who's automatic getting jobs? You don't have to put him in a spot, but like Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, I would assume are two of the six jobs, right?
Are you sure Ben Johnson's going to take a job? Because they do kind of suck. You are sure he's not going to go back?
I think he goes to Chicago. I mean, he went back last year. How many years are you going to go back? And it'd be his first time. Even if he flames out, he'll be a coordinator again, and then get another shot like McDaniels and, I mean, like a lot of these other guys.
They actually really want McCarthy.
Who wants McCarthy?
They said no, and then he left, and they're like, we're interviewing this guy.
What about Brady going Ben Johnson and saying, this is what we need for our offense, and him being like, it's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I could see Ben Johnson going to the Raiders now.
I'm just telling you, I don't think it's a slam dunk, Johnson. I think it's very likely, but I don't think it's a slam dunk.
So maybe Mike McCarthy goes to Chicago. Maybe Ben Johnson goes to the Raiders. I think Aaron Glenn goes to the Jets.
Yeah, or the Saints. He's interviewing there today, or he just did it yesterday.
Yeah. So I don't know who goes to the Jaguars. I don't know. I mean, Dallas. I read something. I think it was like, what is that, FanDuel maybe? They thought John Gruden could come back. Like, is John Gruden going to get a sniff again?
I've seen Kellen Moore there.
Kellen Moore's name's popped up.
You know, we've seen Bill and Dion. We've talked through that.
Brian Flores, does he get a job?
I don't know.
It's
He's got the complication of suing the league, but they're out. I mean, has he started getting interviews?
I wonder if
our team's going to call about O'Connell. We've talked about that.
I wonder if the winner of the Bills-Ravens game, their Joe Brady, Todd Monken, their offensive coordinators, they both had great seasons, but I wonder if the winner and sort of it sort of gets vaulted up a little bit.
I could see Joe Brady in like Jacksonville.
Yeah.
That feels like the kind of Liam Cohen, who I like, Joe Brady, who I don't, Monken, who is too old for me. Like those three feel like Jacksonville candidates.
And it seems like you get to the Super Bowl and then it's like, oh, give me Charlie Weiss, give me Romeo Crennel, give me, like, once you're in the Super Bowl, these coordinators just get like ripped away from you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. We agree Dallas is the top job. I don't think it's a crown jewel, and I don't think it's a great field. That's why the Patriots were at the top of the heap. They're not the greatest job, but they were better than these jobs. 617-779-7937. You can jump in there with all your thoughts and feedback. And it's a Celtics Wednesday. We'll talk to Terp. Any Celtics questions, jump in line. We'll get to them next.